Quoting Proudhon, it happens that in the beginning our instinct is opposed rather than guided by reflection. Consequently, that our power of thought leads us to act in opposition to our nature and our end, that deceiving ourselves, we do and suffer evil, until instinct, which points us toward good, and reflection, which makes us stumble into evil, are replaced by the science of good and evil, which invariably causes us to seek the one and avoid the other. I really like his way of putting that, the science of good and evil. It's, I think, another way of saying what we, borrowing from his terminology, the term we used earlier, the science of learning how to work together in cooperation. And Kropotkin talks about it like that as well. Thus, evil or error and its consequences is the firstborn son of the union of two opposing faculties, instinct and reflection. And my comment, we've been arguing that these faculties were artificially opposed to each other by force, by power, in order to sanctify the subjection of the many to the false authority of the few, that they might pose as gods. And that on the back of this original lie, all the subsequent lies of class flowed like a polluted stream through our eyes and minds, blurring our sight to such a degree, that we have no choice but to stop and clear them. And so have finally been brought to this moment when, with the help of Prince, we shall recover our thought process and sight and see the filth around us as it is clearly, and think the question of reality through to its fundamental basis, and determine consciously that we must create it, reality, for it to serve our purposes, for us to be human beings again. Continuing with Proudhon, thus evil or error and its consequences is the firstborn son of the union of two opposing faculties, instinct and reflection. Good or truth must inevitably be the second child. Or, to again employ the figure, evil is the product of incest between adverse powers. Good will sooner or later be the legitimate child of their holy and mysterious union. Like his way of putting it. Property, continuing, born of the reasoning faculty, entrenches itself behind comparison. But just as reflection and reason are subsequent to spontaneity, observation to sensation, and experience to instinct, so property is subsequent to communism. Communism, or association in a simple form, is the necessary object and original aspiration of the social nature, the spontaneous movement by which it manifests and establishes itself. It is the first phase of human civilization. And I have to comment that we need not chain our thought process to the fanciful notion of stages or phases for us to grapple with the truth that we seek reunion with our source, and that to do so consciously, i.e. incorporate this knowledge of eternity into our personalities, is also to see this reality made manifest in the society we create together. Continuing with Proudhon. In this state of society, which the jurists have called negative communism, what he's calling a simple association, man draws near to man and shares with him the fruits of the field and the milk and flesh of animals. Little by little, this communism, negative as long as man does not produce, tends to become positive and organic through the development of labor and industry. And I hope I hope folks are vibing with his notion of becoming positive, in that we begin to claim our own thought process consciously. We begin to decide that we want to do things. Do things. It makes you want to do things. Together. That's been described by a far less powerful, well, I don't want to rank, let's don't go there. But that's what V. Gordon Child meant by man makes himself, okay? That this whole process of our thinking things through becomes positive. We decide, we get in charge of it. Where were we? Okay, little by little, this communism, negative as long as man does not produce, tends to become positive and organic through the development of labor and industry. But it is then that the sovereignty of thought and the terror, and I would argue that it is then that a few decide to separate themselves out from us and be thought, be the idea. And this is V. Gordon Shields' notion of fire inspiring this notion of I can spring from nothing can spring. Something springs from nothing. And a thought seemed like that. And a few wanted to be seen as godlike. So it is then that the sovereignty of thought, and I again am arguing, manifested in a tiny few who wanted to set themselves apart from the rest, and the terrible faculty of reasoning logically or illogically teach man that if equality is the sine qua non of society, communism is the first species of slavery. To express this idea by a Hegelian formula, I will say, says Proudhon, communism, the first expression of the social nature, is the first term of social development. And again, we are quibbling with this notion, which he unfortunately is citing as authority Hegel, which we know is a mistaken authority, as he was quite consciously used to misdirect us, and has been used that way ever since, used by the ruler of Prussia. Anyway, stay on track. To express this idea by a Hegelian formula, I will say, communism, the first expression of the social nature, is the first term of social development. The thesis. Property, the reverse of communism, is the second term, the antithesis. When we have discovered the third term, the synthesis, we shall have the required solution. Now, and I wish I had had the time or the ability at this state of my being assaulted to include here a lovely quote from Popper on this whole notion of the thesis and the antithesis and the synthesis. Anyway. Now, says Proudhon, this synthesis necessarily results from the correction of the thesis by the antithesis. Therefore, it is necessary, by a final examination of their characteristics, to eliminate those features which are hostile to sociability. The union of the two remainders will give us the true form of human association. Okay, Proudhon, we're hanging. Part two. Characteristics of communism and of property. But perhaps we should break there. To be continued. Hang in there.